For those of you that have been coming the last few weeks, you know that we've been on a journey. Do you dare to believe what the Bible says? And we're going to continue that today. But what I'm doing with these sermons over the next few months is I'm asking certain people to come and share stories with you that I think will help us understand how God works. And today, the last time we had Carrie Boyer speak, a very powerful testimony. By the way, these are all online. If you missed them, they're very worth listening to. Very powerful, moving testimonies. Today, I have two people I want to introduce to you that I've gotten to know some years back because they're associated with Beverly Farm. These two gals have dedicated their life, I call it their ministry, to the folks at Beverly Farm. And they are there, I'm sure they're going to tell you, because of the residents of Beverly Farm. And Beverly Farm is up in Godfrey, Illinois, where there's approximately 380 residents that live there. That's their home. My son is one of them. It's for the mentally and physically disabled people. And it's a community that allows, whatever the disability is, the object of Beverly Farm is to allow these people to reach their maximum potential in life with the care and support that they need. So the first person I'd like to introduce to you is Krista Kell, who you'll recognize from singing. Krista, you want to come up? And we're going to hear from Krista and Lori, and they're just going to speak from their heart about what it has meant to them and about some of the things that are going on at Beverly Farm. So Krista, I'm going to hand you this and let you put that on there.
I don't really need this mic. I talk really loud, so I apologize if I blast you out. As Kent said, my name is Krista. I work at Beverly Farm. I've been there for almost 27 years. I started when I was 5. That's my standard joke. But truly, I started right out of high school. I didn't really have any goals with high school. I didn't know what I was going to be when I grew up. I knew I needed to go to college, and I knew I needed to be able to get a job, to be able to pay the bills, and be able to live. But mostly what I just really needed was to find a little bit of happiness and a little bit of peace in my heart. And God knew that, and he landed this job as activity manager, right? Well, as in activities, right in my lap. My neighbor was the personnel director at Beverly Farm at the time, and he's like, hey, I got this part-time job. Would you be interested? And I rolled through those gates the first day not knowing what I was going to encounter, and I've never looked back. I love what I do. I am, you know, I say I'm the activity manager, but basically my staff and I, we're activity gurus, okay? So we have your recreation needs covered from A to Z. From art club to Zumba, we can hook you up. I will never be wealthy in money. I've got enough to pay the bills, but the fringe benefits at Beverly Farm are the best. Not just health insurance, not 401k, not paid time off. I'm talking about the smiles, the hugs, the unconditional love. We had karaoke the other night, Friday night, and I took some photos of some of our fringe benefits. You can scroll through some of these photos. These guys were all hanging out in front of the gym waiting for karaoke to start. Karaoke at Beverly Farm is off the chain, by the way. We have a great time. They were all happy, excited to see me, and even more excited that I had that camera and was going to take their picture. So I guess what I've learned there, before I started, I never felt like I was good enough. I wasn't pretty enough, wasn't thin enough, wasn't smart enough, wasn't talented enough. And I started there, and what I discovered was that I had the ability to make other people feel like they were enough, yes, that they had enough. This young lady who is not athletic in the least is now a Special Olympics coach, and I have coached many of my athletes to gold medals. I can't count how many in the last 26 years. This girl whose idea of camping is a Rustic Howard Johnson's is now a scout leader, and I help people take them on camping sessions at Pure Marquette, and do fun things. This girl who sometimes has two left feet can do the Macarena, the cha-cha slide, the electric slide, and the Cupid shuffle all in a row at a dance and not miss a beat and teach other people to do it too. The most important thing, though, is that there's just smiles and love. They teach me patience because, not because I'm patient with them, but because they're patient with me when I'm grouchy. And they teach me love because they love me just as I am, even if I come to work wearing my old sweats and a t-shirt and I'm just tired and I don't want to be there. You know, as Lori has said, it's not all butterflies and rainbows. You know, there's days I don't want to drive through those gates. I don't want to be there. And I sure don't want to be driving that yellow truck that everybody knows. And they stalk me out and wait for me. But when I get out of the car and Jason says, "Hi, my friend, welcome back. How are you? I missed you." It was worth it. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm supposed to be here. I want to share about two of my friends, Jenny and Bonnie. They are my BOGO, and we have their picture somewhere. There they are. They're my BOGO. They're my buy one, get one. They're roommates. And Bonnie and I have been friends since I started at Beverly Farm. So we have been friends for over half my life. We have grown up together. She was in her early 20s. I was in my late teens. And we have been friends and been close. We have celebrated birthdays together, holidays together. I comforted her when her father passed away. She comforted me when my grandparents passed away. Jenny is her roommate now, and she and I have been friends for about 12 years. And now whenever we go out for one birthday, we have to go out for the other. And Jenny told me the other day, she came in and gave me a hug as usual, because I get my daily hugs. As she said, "Krista, don't worry, I'm going to be with you forever." I'm like, "Yeah, but you really need to go right now, because I got things I got to do." No. They're my girls. They're my girls, and they make me smile. I get letters and birthday cards and Mother's Day cards and hugs, and they're just two of the reasons that I do what I do. So lastly, what I would like to share with you is about a special project that I have going. As I said, you know, we try and cover everything from art to Zumba and things in between. Part of the challenge with that is we have many residents that just don't have the money to do some of the more special things. One of my programs is we go to Pier Marquette and we do two camping sessions up there. But it's costly because we have to pay for staff time and we have to pay for nursing time and all those kind of things. And I've got folks that want to go camping, but they can't. Or maybe they're in a wheelchair, and our place that we're up there, it's not able to get wheelchairs through or able to help someone with a walker or someone that has ambulation issues. So we have this wonderful cabin on the back of our property. It's called Camp Bell. It was originally built by the founder's son. He and his uncle Campbell, hence the name, it's called Camp Bell. Put the cabin together, and it burned some years ago, and another one was rebuilt. So that's a picture of the outside of Camp Bell. We've done some renovations in it several years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and we've got, you know, a kitchen that's in there. We've got a great room with furniture, a nice big open space, and then they added a space in the back where you could have overnights or people could come and stay. We use it for storage in the winter, but in the summertime, it's open for anybody to use it for a day retreat, for a weekend retreat, whatever they want. And I am trying to get it together so that we can offer some more backyard getaways. Because the great thing is people that are may have to use wheelchairs to get around, or may use a walker, or may need more nursing care than we can give them when we're up at Pier Marquette, they're a minute away. We have all those amenities right at our back door. And I'm trying to get new furniture and get new beds and get things for the kitchen, you know, crock pot, roaster, those types of things. I'd like to set up a fire pit. I just want to make it a nice place so that on a weekend or during the week, you know, we all need a vacation, even if it's just a couple of days, and the guys can go up there and stay and have fun and do crafts and roast marshmallows and just be away and have that little getaway time. So that is the project that I am working on. At this particular moment, there's always a project. But I thank you for the time. I'm going to turn it over to Miss Lori. Thank you.
Thank you. And now another very special person in my life, Lori Rogers, who also works there. Lori, here you go. You want to pin that on your...
Can I just hold it? You can hold
up
it.
Here.
Just don't hold it too close, because that's a very.
I never get hold. Never hold it too close.
Yeah, that's different up there.
Yeah, I know. I can really just say one word: ditto. Because really, what some of the things that I was going to say, Krista kind of covered. I am going to one-up her, though. I've been there 28 years, so which does. And kind of the same thing. When I started, I was just a kid, you know, fresh out of college, really didn't know what I wanted to do. Day one, I went home, and I thought, my gosh, is this really what I want to do? Scary. Things that I had never seen in my world before, you know. My mom and dad gave me a great foundation. My church family gave me a great foundation. But the reality of it is that my experiences at Beverly Farm have truly made me the person that I am today. I can't talk. This is Rose. When I met Rose, I had worked there maybe 2 months, and my job was to take care of her during her psychotic break. So my day from 8:15 to 2:30, Monday through Friday, was to sit in a room with Rose as she yelled, cursed, called me every name, ripped her clothes off, urinated on the floor, and those are just things that I can mention here in church. Okay, and probably by day three, I was just as broken as Rose was, okay? Because as Kent said, our job is to make their lives better, to make them, give them opportunities to meet their potential. And here I was cleaning up urine, putting clothes back on her just so she could do it again. And I did this for about a month with Rose. And I had a lot of come to Jesus talks, you know, because I needed strength to do what I was to do. And, you know, purpose in life, clearly I was like, there's no way I'm doing this. What am I doing to help her? But then through good medicine and a good combination of medications, I met Rose for the first time. And I fell in love with Rose. Rose is truly, she was my kindred spirit. You know, she had the same sick personality as I did. You know, she was deaf, so our conversations could be quite comical in a way, you know. When she said my name, she called me Yari. You can still hear people, hey, Yari. So there's probably not a week that doesn't go by that I don't refer to Rose in some way, shape, or form. But my purpose was to be in that room with her and to let her do whatever she needed to do, how she needed to do it, just so she could be herself. And know that she was loved and cared for, and it was okay. Now, did I know that at the time? Clearly, I did not. But Rose was the first of many that, like Krista said, Rose, I realized I was not her caregiver, but Rose was my friend and I was her friend. And that was kind of a turning point in my life to know that I'm where I'm supposed to be. And there are lots of times you don't want to go into work. It is a taxing job. And I got tired of hearing people say, oh, it takes a special person to work there. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Yeah, it does. And not that I'm special or anything like that, but it does take a special person to come in there and do that. Or a patient person to come in there and do that. And there have been lots of times when something happens and there's that nudge on your shoulder, and it's like, yep, okay, you're right, this is why I'm supposed to be here. Friday, I went to Krista and heard the karaoke, and you know, and it was a long week, and I'm sitting there, and I'm supposed to be home, because supper's waiting for me, but I had to stay and listen to karaoke, because there's Terry singing, you know, Jesus Loves Me a cappella, and at karaoke, and you know, and you've got Mark, who is karaokeing to Elvis, and he flips his collar up, and he's like going to all the women, you know, and like I think that's the best thing ever, and that's the one thing I think that I can remember. You know, living by the Ten Commandments, I still think that those simple rules, and you get the greatest satisfaction out of life because of those rules. And these guys live it every single day. And it's a reminder every single day to take the simple things in life and appreciate them for all they're worth, because they really are the things that are going to make us happy. And that is what is there every single day. So I love it that I get a big kick out of watching them sing karaoke. Even though sometimes you're like, ooh, doing this, sometimes, you know. And that truly, I have to be thankful for them and all the things that they've brought into my life that have been able, that have enabled me then to pass on to others. And purpose in your life, I meant to get here earlier, but nudges, I kind of got slammed in the back about 10 years ago when I had a call from my dad and said that my youngest sister had been in a car accident, and that she was in a coma. I didn't know if she was going to make it or not. And fast forward, she lives at Beverly Farm now. And so I kind of feel like it's come full circle, and just another everyday reminder that I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Even when there are days I just like, ooh, I'm where I'm supposed to be. And I am thankful for that. I am thankful that God has put me here at this place. And, you know, I want it to continue. I want it to continue for me, but I also want it to continue for my sister, who's still got, you know, 75 years of life ahead of her. And I hope that it's all at Beverly Farm and that it continues to do what it's supposed to do and that I'm there as long as I can. So, there you go.
Thank you, Lori and Krista, for everything you do for those special people, including my son. Let's have a prayer. Oh, Father, we come before you very humbly, asking for your Holy Spirit now to present itself in this place in every one of our hearts. And thank you for people like Lori and Krista who go into this world to help people daily that need help. The thing of it is we all have that capability, God, and I want you to open up our vision to that, that we can all be caregivers. We are called to be caregivers. We're called to be servants. But sometimes we need to be reminded. So, Father, let the words today open our hearts and open our spirit to hear the truth. Let me only speak the truth today that will be ring true in someone's life with these stories that the girl shared and the scripture that we're going to read today, that something can come alive in us, that spiritual depth, that spiritual aliveness that makes everything different and worthwhile. So, Jesus, be with us now as we come to listen and hear and be touched by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to do something very weird as a pastor. I got to get a drink before I start this. Drink of water. Some pastors need a drink other than that once in a while, but this is water. We've been on a journey, and we're going to continue on this journey about, do you dare to believe what the Bible says? And something fascinating to me is what you heard this morning and what you hear every day when you go to church, when you go to work, when you turn on the radio, when you talk to your spouse, if you go to school, if you go to work. The big common denominator is we are attached to one another, are detached to one another because of something called words. Words are so important. Around the turn of the century, there was a young lady born named Helen Keller. And if you can even imagine this, born without sight, without being able to hear, she was mute, a dark world with no words. It was frightening. They said she was like an animal as a young person. But no wonder you have nothing to connect. If we shut our eyes now, and I say truck, or I say chicken, you've got a picture and you've got a symbol, a word that puts all that together. Someone like Helen Keller had nothing of that. It had to be a frightening world. She couldn't communicate. She didn't understand anything. The only reception she had with the world is what her touch was. Of course, she had taste. and smell, but she couldn't put anything together. I looked up I Googled and I said, hey, how many words are there that we use in the English language? And according to the Webster thing I looked up, there's 470,000 words in the Webster dictionary. Now, there are more words. That's what the common used words in the Webster dictionary. What's fascinating to me is the 470,000 words, I think Seinfeld said it in one of his episodes. He said, this dictionary is really cool. He says, because every book ever written is in here. It's just that it's all in alphabetical order and it's different. And that's so true. And the other thing fascinating about words is everything we learn and everything we can associate with is based on what? 26 symbols called the alphabet. And we take those 26 symbols and rearrange them in different orders and we make a word. And then we take all these different words and we make sentences. And that is how we communicate with one another. It's fascinating to me. And then we come to the Bible and we found out that there's different types of words in this world. And these words are spiritual words. In other words, they're empowered and they have spiritual force behind them. Listen to a few of these verses from the Bible. This is from Ephesians. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. From Proverbs, there is one whose rash words are like swords thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Matthew, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Luke, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. And again in Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And these are just a few, and there are hundreds of passages that deal with words in the Bible. Krista and Lori touched on something very, very important, and it goes perfectly with what the scripture I want to read to you today. I'm going to go to the words of the prophet Ezekiel, Old Testament. If you read Ezekiel, he was a prophet during the time nation of Judah was captivated by, they were captives in Babylon. And Ezekiel was put there again to turn the people's heart with God's words that he gave Ezekiel to go to the people with these words empowered by God to say, change your hearts and come back to me. And this is one of the stories that I know you're familiar with. You young people, I'm sure you've heard of this before. And it's called The Dry Bones Live. But it has such a powerful message, and it goes right with Krista and Lori told us today. These are the words of God. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And God said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, only you know. You know, bones can represent a lot of things. So here's Ezekiel in this dry desert valley, and all around him basically are skeletons. No life whatsoever. So again, God said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones began to come together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So God came to me again and said, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and a breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now, those words were said to the exiles in Babylon. But like all things in the Bible, it's a metaphor to our lives. See, a few weeks ago I talked about the mountain, having faith. What is the mountain in your life that you can't get over, you can't get through, you can't get around? Where Jesus said you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can say to that mountain, be cast into the sea, and it will be cast into the sea. And today what we're hearing is, listen people, prophesy. Prophesy. And let me tell you something. I looked up, I did a little word study on that. And prophesy is to utter words inspired by God into a situation. Utter words inspired by God into a situation. Well, what was Ezekiel's situation? He was in a land of bones. The people had left God. And God was showing him, you have people here that are dead. They're dead in spirit. They're worthless to me. They're worthless to the land. So he said, prophesy them with the words I give you, and they came back alive. Now, what I'm going to tell you today is, what are the dead bones in your life? Some people have dry bones in their checkbook. Some people have dry bones in their relationship. Some people have dry bones in the business life. Some people just have dry bones up here in their head. And what God wants us to do is to take these dead dreams, these dead things that have no longer any use to us, and prophesy to them and expect things from God. And I will continue with a story that I know I can speak personally, and some of you have heard this, but see, there was a time in my life when I lived at home with my son who is severely handicapped as a single parent. And what I had in my life was not only dry bones, but a bunch of weeds up here and in here. Because see, what happened was I had allowed my thinking and my life to be ruled by the negative, this is impossible. The dry bones are, I quit my job, I stayed at home, my life kept shrinking and shrinking until I was almost completely broke. There seemed like no hope. My life was dry bones. I didn't know what to do. What I needed was someone to give me the word, to prophesy to me, lift me up, and give me hope. And it came in the package of a little girl sitting over here. When I first met Bonnie and brought her home, my dad, I remember after he had met her several times, he came to me and said, "Well, she's a Pollyanna." Everything was possible to my wife. Everything. And she came into my situation and said, "Kent, we can fix this. This is doable. We can change this. You don't have to be stuck here. Look, we can do this and we can do this and we can do this." And we can. She was prophesying life. But I'm going to tell you something. When someone first does that, it makes no sense. Because in me, I had all these weeds in my heart and in my head. And I said, "No, you don't understand. These bones are dry. There's no meat left. There's nothing. I can't do this. You don't know what you're getting involved in here." She says, "No, listen. It's doable. It's fixable. We can do this." Everything. I'm going to tell you, I've been with this woman almost 20 years now. And what I've learned something. If she says we're going to do something, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Little story, and I know she can be mad. I'm going to say, I'm going to tell you something. She and her sister, Robin, are both here today. Would you both stand up? These two are sisters. Stand up a minute. No, this is important. Robin, stand up. This is Bonnie's little sister, younger sister. And what I want to tell you is they're both the same way. You can sit down. Anything is possible. I'm going to tell you, there was a time in my life before all the weeds were plucked out and I was renovated by Bonnie's words, I used to get on the phone with Robin. And she had dry bones in her life. Major, right? I mean, it was like the end, right? She said it was so bad, there was three or four times a day she just had to sit in the tub. Because that's the only thing she could do, is soak in the tub, right? It was like, what am I going to do? And then someone began prophesying to her life. She went back to school. Now, I can't disclose the whole situation, but I'm going to tell you what. It was dire. It was dire. She now is one of the top executives in Humana Insurance Company. She went back to school and did it. I can do this. Bonnie's that way. I can do it. When she first came to me and said, we're going to put on this big concert and we're going to raise money for Beverly Farm. I said, what do you mean? Because I played in bands my whole life. Well, I'm going to get this choir. It's going to be like 100 people. And then we're going to put all these musicians. I'm like, oh my God, there's no way. It'll never work. You don't understand. It'll never work. And that would make her mad. Because see, I was prophesying back into her. We must be careful with our words. Prophesying. We are Christians. We've got the Word of God. We can give one another hope. There are people right now that need prophesying to. You can do this. I can help you. I can help change your life. We can do this. You can become a savior to someone. Lori and Krista do it every day. And what's cool is, like they said, the people are doing it back to them. And that's what happens. We energize people. And things begin to change. But if you get stuck with the weeds, if you get stuck in this spin, and I know, I've been there. We need Christians to believe in the Word of God. We shall be the head, not the tail. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. We can overcome all things. All things are possible to those who believe and trust God and are called according to His purpose. The key is, what is God saying to me in my life? He said to Lori, you know, Lori at first, can you imagine how hard that was? And eventually God spoke, no, this is going to be okay. And how he used that to come around. She had a sister and was involved in a terrible wreck. And now she lives at Beverly Farm and Lori's there and she says, it's complete. God will use all things to good for those who trust and believe in the Lord. And I see it. And I want to encourage you. See, we come to church, but if we don't hear stories like this, that God comes into lives and He takes the dry bones and He puts the sinew and the meat and the blood and the organs and the breath back in. But sometimes we must be the ones that do the CPR and breathe life back in, because Jesus wants to use you and me as the life givers. It's up to us to prophesy into people's lives. So we must very carefully watch our words that we speak to one another. Amen. Krista said something important. So we're going to get ready to do our offering, but I'm going to ask a special favor today. We're going to do a regular offering, but if you find it in your heart and if you want to, I'm going to have a special collection for Camp Bell. We're trying to raise money so she can buy the beds and the furniture and the folding chairs and the fire pit to leave all the 380 residents that can't afford to do anything else so they can be part of Camp Bell. So here's the way we'll do this. If you want to participate, it's up to you. You just let God be your guide. If you want to donate to that, there's several ways. If you're not prepared today, you'd still like to, you can get a hold of me or Jackie or one of these two girls and let them know, hey, I'm in, just let me know what you need. Or the other way is, if you just want to donate something today, take one of the envelopes, I don't care if it's green or white, and just write the check out in there, and you can make it to either Emmanuel or to our church, and write on there for Camp Bell in the memo. And then we'll make sure that we'll take one or two checks and present that to Beverly Farm so they can get this camp ready to go for the people this fall. That's our goal. If you've got other ideas for them, let them know. Let's have a prayer. Father, we come before you now and we ask you to empower our lives. Remind us of the words of Ezekiel. Remind us of the words of Jesus Christ. We are called to be servants to this world. We are called to prophesy into people's lives. To say things are possible. Oh, it's so easy for us, Father, to go off on these tangents where we talk things down and it's bad and that person did this and they didn't do this and I can't do this. I know that. I've been there. But God, help us with your Holy Spirit. Remind us that our words are powerful. That death and life are in the power of the tongue. So let us speak life into everything, into one another. Let us rejuvenate dreams and say it's possible. We can do this. I can be part of this. So Lord, send your Holy Spirit now into each heart. Mend them, heal them, prophesy them to the possibilities that all things are possible because of you and your son's sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's come forward for this morning's offering.